Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another exciting episode of Are You Not Entertained? This is episode 138, and today's date is November 14th, 2018. My name is Carrie, and I'll be your host for the evening. And as always, I am joined by that dynamic duo, Russ and Kent. How you doing, guys?
I am fantastic. Crazy week of wrestling, crazy week of colder than hell weather. What the hell's going on? Feels like the middle of winter. And yeah, it's good stuff all around. Kent?
Yeah, it's cold. It's been fun. I keep like waking up with the old sore throat thing going on. It's fucking, time of the year.
Yeah, it's cold down here too. We're supposedly supposed to get snow tomorrow down here in DC.
Which is crazy for this time of year, right?
Oh, it's completely unseasonable.
We're supposed to get almost 6 to 10 inches on Friday.
The Lexington Steel Special?
That's crazy.
You know it. So, yeah, it sucks.
Absolutely. All right, so for our first-time listeners, as always, you're probably very confused when we start off this show, because we never actually talk about what we're all about. Well, first, welcome to our show. Second, we talk about all things wrestling. This week, we're going to preview this weekend's Survivor Series and NXT TakeOver War Games shows. And while doing so, we're going to throw in some discussion on what happened this week on Raw and SmackDown, because lots happened. And as always, we have our regular segments for you throughout the show. Before we start getting into any of that, Kent, what's your moment of bliss?
It's a good question. Not much going on TV this week. Tonight's the season finale of American Horror Story. What was once a great season, 7 episodes in, has turned into a complete and utter farce. It's amazing how the quality of a television show can go so far down so fast. I mean, granted, we're used to this as wrestling fans, but that's a week-to-week thing. This is just a scripted TV show. There shouldn't be a huge quality dip. So what was once promise of epic battles between warlocks, witches, and the Antichrist has turned into jokes about computer nerds named Mutt and Jeff. It's been bad. So, yeah, looking forward to tonight, because either it's going to be great and I'll be kind of happy, or it's going to be terrible. It's the last time I have to see it until next year. So it's kind of a win-win situation. Kinda. I will also say this. Pluto TV, I'm really just... My new sleep thing is to watch Wipeout, because they have a Wipeout channel, and I'm just watching that whenever I'm not doing anything.
Wait, it's there's a like, Wipeout channel?
Yeah, and it's on 24/7. Now, granted, you're going to see the same episodes like within a couple of days, because they only have the rights to so many episodes from Australia, Canada, and the UK. Mm-hmm. And by the way, Canada's not funny. We have so many great comedians from Canada, but Wipeout in Canada, not funny at all. UK and Australia, though, they, UK especially, I would say, really, they tickle me in a way that I enjoy being tickled. So, they also have, on Pluto TV, they have a bunch of seasons of Unsolved Mysteries, which we're all old enough to remember, and there's some other stuff, like they have, music channels like you'd get on your normal cable package. I don't know. I would check it out.
Isn't Pluto TV a part of Roku?
I don't know. I got it on my Fire Stick. I got it on my TV. So if you have a smart TV, you can probably just get the Pluto TV app. Oh, and they also have a 24/7 Impact. Yeah, I mean, if you really want to,
insult yourself,
degrade yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
That almost sounds like, you know what it sounds like? We almost sound like Pluto TV paid us that.
I don't care. Yeah, that's fine. That was a freebie, Pluto. Next week, though, I'm not going to be so nice. I will say this, though. Every once in a while, they fuck up their advertisements. About 3 or 4 days ago, I heard the same commercial 7 out of 8 commercials. I was in rage mode.
You know, I was going to say, though, here's the thing. The demand channels do that, too, on Spectrum.
Yeah, I've seen it, like, on the History Channel app do the same thing. So, it's just poor design, really. Like, how do you not have a... It's like a randomizer for your MP3 player. How do you play the same commercial that many times in a row? But I mean, now I'm really excited for Overlord the movie because
right?
Now I know that commercial by heart.
The one I got so much over and over is the Peyton Manning State Farm commercial. Cap on over and over. I'm like, okay, I get it. This is terrible. Stop.
Is it one where he gets off the bus?
Yes, the one he gets off the bus. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Been there, hated that many times too. So, yeah. I also have one other moment of bliss, but we're not quite ready for it yet. We'll be getting to it later. And that's my momentary moment of bliss.
All right, guys. Let's jump right into NXT TakeOver War Games. Let's preview the card thus far. Looks like we got 4 matches to talk about, guys. First matchup, we have Johnny Gargano versus Aleister Black. I'll be honest, I haven't been watching NXT lately, but I did hear that he is the one who actually attacked Aleister Black. And Candice LeRae has gone heel, and I heard that this has just really just become a semi-interesting story. Kent, what are your thoughts?
As a person that's clearly been watching the product since day one-ish, I can tell you that, yeah, interesting that they kind of, I don't know, it's like the whole thing where they spent how much time trying to get Gargano over as the face, and then they did this, and it really didn't make much sense. And as I was looking over the preview for this, I thought, I miss the Bobby Roode glorious bombs with Ciampa and Gargano. So I just watched that video. It was like the best of. And there was one I had never seen. They were in the bathroom and they opened the door and there's Tommy Dreamer. And then they look towards the entrance of the bathroom and in comes Ron Simmons. And he does the damn. And I was like, this is what I miss. This is why I stopped watching NXT so much. They don't do the glorious bombs anymore. So, NXT, get your shit together. I'll pick Aleister. He's the one that has main roster potential.
Sounds like a safe bet. Russ, what are your thoughts?
Well, as another person who's watched the product so often in the past and most recent times, I have to say that I am shocked that they did this, honestly. Turning Gargano heel just seemed so stupid to me, honestly. But what do I know? I'm just a person who likes wrestling. I'm going to have to go with Kent on this one. Aleister Black seems like the right victor here. He needs that win after the attack and everything, so I think this feels like the right spot. Yeah, Aleister.
I think that's a safe bet for all of us on that one. I think all 3 of us agree. Next up, we have the NXT Women's Championship 2 out of 3 falls match between Shayna Baszler and Kairi Sane. I gotta go with Baszler here. She's really grown on me, and I really, really enjoy her, and I think it's gonna, yeah, I want her to win. Russ?
I don't even care. I don't like either of them. I'm going to go with Shayna Baszler just because Baszler? How do you say
Baszler.
Her last? It's Baszler. Okay. Shayna Baszler. I'm going to go with her just because she just won it recently. I don't think they're going to switch hands that often. Right? We've seen this match. This is brand new match, guys. It's exciting to watch.
It's first time ever and historic.
Yes. If by first time ever, you mean the first time it's ever been in November.
Yes. Kent, what are your thoughts?
I don't know if we've actually had a 2 out of 3 falls match, have we? For the women?
I don't believe so. No, let's not. No, No, let's up.
So there you go. It's historic. And if there is a god or a robot devil, Kyrie Sane will not walk away with that motherfucking belt and cause me to rage quit a goddamn NXT takeover, because there are just some things in life that need to go away. And I can't list most of them because they're awfully offensive things for me to say. But I can say Kyrie Sane on air and mean it 100%. Just go back to wherever the fuck you crawled out from under and go away, you untalented hack. Shayna Baszler has truly grown on me. And every time I see her, I must say she seems to improve. Even if it's minor things, she's learning something while down in NXT. She's becoming a wrestler. I don't know what the fuck Kyrie's doing. Playing around with her stupid pirate wheel? Trying to put some shit in her fucking little treasure chest? Trying to seem cool? I don't know. But she's not improving. She's not doing anything good. So, no. Fuck Kyrie. We need... This just feels like Gargano versus Ciampa. We've seen this match ad nauseum. Enough is enough, and it's clock for a change.
Yeah, I'm really hoping this is the last installment.
It would be, right? With the gimmick, right?
No, there's still a last woman standing. There's still an Iron Man. I'm just going to stop talking right now.
Carrie, you just made me sad.
I know. It's the second time tonight I've done that.
Not cool.
All right. Let's move on then. And talk about something that maybe will be a little bit happier for us. Let's talk the NXT Championship match between Tommaso Ciampa and Velveteen Dream. I would love to see Velveteen Dream win here. I don't think he will. But I just think Velveteen Dream's just money. He's so good. His gimmick's good. He's just awesome. What do you think, Kent?
This should be match of the night. If it's not, then Gargano and Black is followed by the War Games, and then a distant fourth, Kyrie.
I thought Ricochet had a match, or is he in that? Is he in the War Games?
Russ, you're a math teacher. We're on match three. We have one more match to go.
Oh.
You do the math.
I thought you said Ricochet had a match, that's all. So he must be in the War Games.
Way to watch NXT.
I watch it all the time, Kent.
See, here's the thing, Russ. Unlike you, I'm actually going to binge watch the shit out of NXT over the next 3 days, so I'm actually caught up on things. I'm actually going to do that. So with that being said, what more is there for Ciampa to do? I'm not really sure. They gave him the great Gargano angle. There's no real payoff moving forward. Like, I don't really know who the face is that he's going to put over if it's not Velveteen. Like, I guess I would really like to see Ciampa versus Black, but I don't really see any need for Black to get another title run. I say give it to Dream. Let's finally get somebody in-house and give them a belt and be like, hey, NXT isn't just for indie wrestlers. Like, I mean, granted, he was on the indies, but he feels more like a homegrown product than any past NXT champion, if he'd win it. So, yeah, give it to Dream.
Russ, your thoughts?
I'm kind of with Ken on this one. I really want Dream to win this. I think he deserves it. Let's see what he can do with it. I mean, come on, he's so charismatic as it is. Let's see what he can do with the belt. Let's see if he can be a leader. I think it'd be a lot of fun. I think Kent's right. What's left for Ciampa to do other than to go up to the main roster and dwindle away in mediocrity because tag teams are useless up there?
Also, you know, you bring up the charisma thing. Wouldn't it be nice? This would be probably the second time that we've had a champion get the belt more on charisma than on in-ring talent.
Been a long
time. The first being Finn Balor.
Yeah.
Finn Balor seriously got over on his entrance in NXT and not his talent. Like, I will defend that to my dying end, he did not have many good matches in NXT. He really didn't.
I have to agree with you, because it seems like he's, as he's got grown and on the WWE main roster, he seems to be getting better and better.
Yeah, he's reverting back to what made him so popular in the first place, but in NXT, it was just his gimmick that got him over.
Right.
So,
I agree. Yeah, so I really want, I think I want Dream to win this. I think it's going to be the best match of the night, Kent Wright. Hand down, I think, even. I don't think it's going to be close. So, yeah, let's hope Dream wins. Dream.
All right, let's talk about the War Games match between Undisputed Era, War Raiders, and Ricochet and Pete Dunne. First, and I already told both of you I was going to say this, and I'm going to say this on air. It's War Machine, not War Raiders. They will always be War Machine to this Ring of Honor fan. Anyway, with that being said, I am so sick of the Undisputed Era that I would like to see either War Raiders or Ricochet and Pete Dunne win this. Kent?
War Machine is a song by Kiss. Taz used to come out to it. That's only War Machine I acknowledge.
What are you making?
Russ is not on mute.
I'm hilarious. What are you making? What are you making, Kat? What are you making at?
Yep.
Good save.
Yep. So I propose this trade. Japan, trade us Roppongi 3K. We will give you Kairi Sane and all of Undisputed Era, and I'll even throw in a harlot for free. Just straight up trade. I am good with this. Please, for the love of God.
I hate to tell you, but New Japan didn't want Adam Cole.
Oh God. All right. How long have we been seeing these guys? It's been about a year and a half now to 2 years. We've seen
at least a year.
Yeah, because last November they had Undisputed Era in this bullshit match. And it wasn't good, and it got all hype from fucking indie nerds. And this is why indie nerds, I'm trading you to Japan too, okay?
Hey, wait a minute.
Hey, Carrie,
you're
just
going to have to...
I was going to say, aren't you already there,
Carrie?
You just
got to reset your schedule.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I'm just... No, I... And the thing is, I don't even really like the other team. I don't have anything against Ricochet. I'm not a huge fan of him because he's not very good on the mic, and yeah. He's very good in ring, he's just not very good on the mic yet. He can be. But Pete Dunne's my boy. So I'm always picking Pete Dunne no matter what. So he's my pick, and I really don't care about this match. It doesn't excite me in the least bit. I hate the fact they brought War Games back and they've wasted on this awful gang of hoodlums.
So overall thoughts, guys, what do you how do you think this show's going to go?
I mean, I won't talk about War Games. That's okay.
Russ, you already had that conversation with me earlier.
I know. It's all I
did. Did you forget?
Yes, I forgot.
Oh, well, for us, I'm so sorry. What are your thoughts on this match?
I'm not going to add too much. All I want to say is that I've already admitted to never seeing War Games like a couple weeks ago. So I'm interested in seeing this match because I want to see what War Games is all about. And maybe I'm hoping I'm not going back to last done because Kent told me it was terrible. So I'm not going back. So I'm going to.
Hey, you've never seen a single one like back in the WCW days?
Nope. Never saw a single one. I've seen the structure. I get the idea. I've never seen it. So I'm going to leave it up to this one. I'm going to watch this one.
Well, Russ, I'm going to pull a Paul Heyman here. Give you a little spoiler.
Okay.
Every single War Games, they have some kind of determination, whether it be a random, card drawing in the back or a fight. And the heels always win, so they're always the first one to have the 2-on-1 and 3-on-2 advantage every single time. It's weird how that works. And then it's a clusterfuck, clusterfuck, clusterfuck. And then somebody gets some weird win, usually by somebody turning heel or face, and that's how most of those matches end. But definitely recommend some of the ones in WCW.
That was a very thorough rundown. I hope to see it exactly go that way.
I'm just saying, I'm telling you, the heels are going to have the 2-on-1 advantage. I don't know that for a fact, but that's a fact.
I got you.
And a spoiler.
All right. So I want Pete Dunne and Ricochet to win. That's who I want to win.
Fair enough. So overall thoughts. Russ, we'll just go right back to you.
Okay, sounds good. Overall, this is nothing that's really jumping at me, making say I have to watch it. But there's a couple matches I really want to see. I do want to see the War Games just to see what happens. And I do definitely want to see Dream fight Gargano or Ciampa. So 2 out of 4 matches, not too bad. And I don't think it's going to be wasting too much of my time. I'm good for it.
And Kat?
This is the worst year in NXT history for me. And it's based on the same repetitive matches, keeping Undisputed Era too far up our asses. Just the talent's there, but it's the same people time and time again in NXT that are getting the takeover matches. There's really no movement whatsoever. It just feels very stale. I'm pretty sure Shayna Baszler's been in all 5 of the TakeOver women's matches. I think the first 2 were with Ember Moon, and then the last 3 are with Kairi Sane. So, she's not Asuka. I mean, as much as I like Shayna, she's not Asuka. You know, so, like, we're not getting any... It's the same old shit, and NXT used to be better than that. We're reverting back to like Bo Dallas versus Neville's main event stuff, and that's not a good thing, really. Bo Dallas's main event isn't a good thing. We need to do better. So I'm actually looking more forward to Sunday than I am Saturday, oddly enough.
Yeah, this card really isn't. It isn't exciting me. And usually NXT TakeOver, it was a must watch. This is not a must watch. I'd rather watch like old episodes of like Ring of Honor or something.
Don't go that far, Carrie. Come on.
Oh, come on.
Nobody wants to see those.
Hey, this past week's episode was really good. I highly recommend Shane Taylor versus Jeff Cobb. Jeff Cobb is a star. Holy shit, that guy is awesome. I like that guy. He is awesome.
Sounds like a cool guy. Is he awesome?
Well, you would actually know him. He's the monster. Matanza Crina from... Yeah!
Oh, he's really that good? Because I never really liked him that much in Lucha Underground.
Well, he also... I think they held him his athleticism back a little bit, given character and Lucha.
True. Oh, neat. I learned something.
The guy is big and he can move.
Okay.
He also had an impressive match this over the weekend with Evil.
See, you did have a corner to go to.
I did, but I didn't really have any big stories coming out of like Global Wars, other than
Cody
was injured, but wasn't injured enough to miss Final Battle and Wrestle Kingdom. But there is some kind of a meniscus issue that probably will have to be taken care of after Wrestle Kingdom, based on what I'm reading on the internets.
Wait. Well, we're talking about, you know, lousy indie wrestling, but David Arquette is back in wrestling. Did anybody know this?
No.
I heard a rumor that he was. I don't know who he's wrestling for.
He's 47, in the best shape of his life, and he's so, like, not angry. He's just kind of sad because wrestling fans kind of universally hate him. When given an opportunity that any wrestling fan would have taken, mind you.
Oh, yeah, no, totally. We are hypocritical as hell in this one.
Yeah, yeah. He really likes it. So much. I mean, he grew up watching the stuff, and he's back into it. They did a full feature on ESPN. I just read it yesterday or the day before. And, I mean, yeah, he's not going to make the big leagues. He's 47. But... he's given it his best shot, and I'm really impressed by that. So, yeah, go Arquette.
Good for him.
And this has been a very miniature Carrie's Corner.
Oh, yes. It's. I had a few little, like, odds and ends I needed to just throw out there. So, you listeners, you're aware. You know what's going on. As I said, very quiet. Maybe I'll have something next weekend once World Tag League starts. But right now, not much going on. All right, let's jump into Survivor Series, guys. To stuff I know you guys want to talk about. Let's start off with the match that's probably going to be our pre-show match. We have the Cruiserweight Championship match, Buddy Murphy versus Mustafa Ali. Kent, let's get your thoughts on this one.
God, this is a rematch. I mean, God, we don't ever get rematches. So, for those of you that, you know, definitely paid lots of attention during the Australian Super Show, looking at all of us, because we all paid lots of attention to it, we get a rematch. And the first match was really, it was okay. Like, it existed. Probably a little bit better than existed, but not by much. I mean, realistically, it wasn't a very long match. So, I don't care. I don't like Mustafa Ali. Japan, I'm throwing him into the trade package as well. Take Mustafa out of here. Picking Buddy Murphy.
And Russ.
I love Kent's hatred for Mustafa Ali. So good.
I have been nothing but consistent with my hatred of him, though, in all fairness.
It's totally true. As almost unfair as it has been, almost. I can see where some of it comes from. I'm going to... I don't know. I kind of see like him winning it just to give someone else the belt. But Buddy Murphy.
Yeah, I'm just going to make it unanimous. We're going with Mr. Alexa Bliss. I mean, Buddy Murphy.
Well, it's one of the reasons I think he's going to keep it, but don't tell anybody.
Yeah. He's going to keep the belt in the envy of every man out there.
Certainly.
Oh, wait. Cedric Alexander was the champion, wasn't he?
He was at one point, yes.
Yes, he was.
He's the one that Buddy Murphy won it off of, right? So I got all my facts wrong on the Super Show?
You may have. I don't know. We've had so many pay-per-views lately that they may be blending together at this point.
Buddy Murphy, a name you'll never forget.
Or remember. It'll be there, though.
Possibly. Let's go into... Let's talk tag teams and talk about the two... Tag team matches on the card. First up, we have the champions match, Authors of Pain versus The Bar. There's no reason Authors of Pain should lose this match. What do you think, Russ?
Well, I mean, I just don't know why they do this. I don't see Authors of Pain winning this, actually, to tell you the truth. I don't see The Bar being their stepping stone. Although, Authors of Pain really need a solid victory. God, this is tough. No, screw it. I'm going with the Bar. They're going to give them the win. They need that victory, The Bar, though. It's just to keep them going. They're flowing momentum. And the Authors of Pain, they're new, comparatively. So, with two veterans like Cesaro and Sheamus, I can't see them losing to the newer, younger guys, AOP. So, I'm going to go with The Bar.
And Kent.
So, longtime listeners, you just heard it. Russ completely buried the young up-and-coming team because they beat a certain Seth Rollins. Everything he just said was made up bullshit. Cesaro's not going to get put over. Where the fuck have you been? Come on. I mean, I don't care if it's Cesaro, Sheamus, and Big Show. And they keep saying it's The Bar and Big Show, by the way,
they
which
do.
Is hilarious.
Yes, they do.
Like, no, it's not a three-man unit, as far as I know. They're not doing Freebird rules with this particular group. Yeah, no, no. Under no circumstances is Cesaro going to get put over here. It's going to be the team that killed Russ's fever dream when Mr. Burn It Down was a two-time champ.
A double champ.
The bitterness is really strong within you, Russ. Like
my decision had nothing to do with Seth Rollins' embarrassing loss to the Authors of Pain. Actually, I shouldn't say embarrassing. He fought with honor.
Yeah, and sure. When he loses Sunday, Russ, I'm putting him in the package and send his ass to Japan too.
You can't do that. It'll get Kenny. Then Kerry and I will be both in Kerry's corner, you know, talking about Seth and Kenny Omega.
Yeah, then you guys could have your little fucking wet dream pillow fight, and you know, I could hang out here and watch old clips of WCW while Steve Mongo McMichael says, "This is where the big boys play."
That is where the big boys play.
All right, guys. So while we're on the subject of tag teams, let's talk the tag team Survivor Series elimination match. For Team Raw, we have Bobby Roode and Chad Gable, The Ascension, Lucha House Party, B-Team, and The Revival. And from SmackDown, we're going to have The Usos, The New Day, Good Brothers, Sanity, and The Colognes. I just want to start by talking about the fact that The Ascension came very close to captaining this team for Raw. I was very excited to learn that when I read the recap. With that said, I don't see Raw winning this match. I'm going with SmackDown. Kent, what are your thoughts?
First of all, props to Connor, because when Braun Strowman wowed his fat ass out to interrupt the opening match, first man down that ramp to meet Braun Strowman was my boy Connor, who took it like a champ. Just took it. And
he got those hands.
Yeah. He did. He got those big man mitts. I mean, you know, I feel it's kind of a disgrace that we're mentioning tag team so much and we're not even discussing Whoomp. There it is, but there. I did it, at least. I feel a little bit better. So what you're telling me is that you have five teams on SmackDown that have all been tag team champions. Almost all of them multiple time. I think Gallus and Anderson are the only ones that aren't multiple. I want to say the Colognes have actually won it multiple times even. And then we have Raw, which has such illustrious teams as the B team. I mean, the Ginger Rhinos weren't even good enough.
Wow, I didn't even notice they're not there.
They were the first team that got eliminated, so they didn't make the team.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, just like Keith Slater's career the past 2 years? I mean, but if Becky Lynch has taught us anything, Heath Slater is going to come back with redheaded fury and vengeance, and he's going to be the one that takes the IC title next.
He is going to be the woman, because he can't be the man.
Yeah. I thought Ellsworth was the woman.
Well, he could be, but they didn't play him like that.
Either way,
unless you're calling
Heath
him
Slater.
A bitch, then totally.
Well, I mean, Ellsworth is the intergender champion right now.
So there is that, yeah.
True.
I mean, really, is what team's going to hold up on Raw? Like, who's even going to be your final team? Is it really going to be Roode and Gable? Because that doesn't even add up much. So you're relying on either the Revival or the Ascension. God, dark days here. Dark days indeed. SmackDown should win with at least three teams surviving.
Russ, your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I have absolutely no interest in this because they screwed this up royally. All their build-up for this. This was terrible. Like, you didn't even know any of the teams were on the fucking team until this week. With that said, they have some good...
Wait, Russ. There's only six tag teams on SmackDown.
I know.
One of them's the champ, and the other five teams existed. So I think you knew who were on that team, did you not?
But SmackDown, I didn't, or Raw, I didn't know. For some reason, I must have missed the tag. elimination thing, because I didn't know what was going on with Raw either. And they never mentioned it again on Raw again, because I know I missed about 20 minutes of Raw. So, but anyway, going back to it, okay, so they do have some impressive teams, and I just cannot see how Raw has a chance. SmackDown should crush these guys, theoretically. I mean, yeah, no, it's SmackDown all the way. I don't even have to...
Who do you got as survivors, Russ?
I'm going to say New Day.
I think that's important.
And the Usos.
Yeah, New Day, Usos, yeah.
Usos.
I fear at least one other team.
Who?
Probably... It can't be Sandy. Sandy never gets a rub, so... Oh, God, we're talking about three teams that never get a rub. Maybe SmackDown just wins by two.
I was going to say, maybe it's just two teams.
I'm going to go crazy. I'm going to pick Sanity as well.
I wouldn't touch that one.
I got the Usos, New Day, and Good Brothers. I really still believe in Gallows and Anderson.
We all
even
believe.
Even though WWE doesn't.
Right, we believe in them. WWE doesn't, so.
Russ, you should take... Epico
okay,
Primo.
I'll take Epico and Primo because they definitely have a chance of not getting eliminated.
But the Usos know Spanish.
Si.
Como esta?
Puedo ir al baño.
What did my mom ever do to you?
All right, guys. So before we get into the discussion about the next match, Russ, I seriously think we need a Rollins roundup to kick this discussion off.
Rollins roundup. Oh, my goodness. Yes, we definitely need a Rollins roundup. Man, Seth cannot catch a break. He is just... Last week before, he got beaten up by AOP, and then Dean came out and gave him a good old dirty deeds. This week, we finally got Dean's answer to Seth's question, burning question. See what I did there? So I want to address first, though, that Seth came out. They talked about his Survivor Series match, and very arrogantly, you know, as is Seth, he brushed it off. I'm very curious why he did that. That does not sound too good for him coming up. But anyway, coming back to the Seth's roundup. So he finally asked Dean. Dean finally told him why he did it, because they were making him weak. I can't lie. I kind of see his logic. The one good thing I've always loved about Seth is that he has a character flaw. We all know it. Arrogance. And Dean has been exploiting that so perfectly. And I love it. I love what they're doing with these two. I cannot wait till they actually start getting into a real feud, which should start in December. But anyway, back to Shinsuke coming out. Well, I guess we'll talk about that later. That's the Rollins roundup. He's got a lot going on this week.
All right, let's jump right into our discussion now about the Intercontinental versus U.S. title match, Seth Rollins versus Shinsuke Nakamura. This, guys, I'm calling it now, is going to be match of the night. It really is going to be. I'm interested to see how these two pair up. They've never faced each other, not even in the independents. So this is going to be good. I'm excited about this match. As to who wins, just based on booking, past booking, Seth is winning it. Kent, what are your thoughts?
No way in hell is this going to be match of the night. It's not. Every time we say Shinsuke is going to be involved in match of the night, no. So, yeah. Seth is a witch. Burn him down. WWE is clearly borrowing from Fear the Walking Dead about this whole weak thing. They're really stealing it straight from that show, which... is weird. Why steal it from that? I don't know, but they are for the storyline. Since Shinsuke is the guy that's not being talked about, Shinsuke is going to be the guy that wins. Whether Dean's the one that interferes, which makes sense. I mean, Dean didn't even get an opportunity. He wasn't even asked, hey, would you like to be on the team? No. So Dean's going to be there, obviously. What else is he going to do? Just sit there? No, he's going to interfere in this match. And Shinsuke's going to pick up the win because it makes the most storyline sense, I think. And Shinsuke could use a win on a pay-per-view. That hasn't happened since, like, I don't know.
Has it? 2000s. Has it happened?
I think ever.
NXT?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he beat Sami Zayn once.
Yeah.
That may have happened. So, Shinsuke for the win.
And Russ.
I echo Kent on this one. It's almost... That's exactly how it's going to go down. There's no way Dean's staying out of this. It's not going to be match tonight just because of all the interference that's going to happen. So, yeah, I'm agreeing with Kent. I hate saying that completely but he's called it exactly. That's exactly what's going to happen. Shinsuke's going to win it. Shinsuke needs the win. Seth does not.
Say what?
Hey, I call it like it is. Sometimes.
I mean, Shinsuke needs the win, but this is WWE booking we're talking about. Seth probably will get the win because he's Seth and shield privilege.
The question is, how often will Seth no-sell?
That's a good question.
Frequently.
Like, no, he'll sell.
I would say at least 25% of the match, maybe?
Yeah. I'll say he'll sell in the beginning and he'll sell towards the end, but he'll forget about it in the middle somewhere.
God, I hope he does the superplex into Falcon Arrow spot. It is such an original spot that I never get to see. It is so exhilarating to see. I cannot wait.
All right, guys. So
I'd argue with you, but you're right.
Yeah, he's right. All right, so let's continue our discussion of the men's matches. But before we do that, let's jump right into our segment, Were You Not Entertained? And talk about the Daniel Bryan versus AJ Styles title match on SmackDown, where Daniel Bryan got basically a nutshot win to win the title. I was not entertained by this match. Russ, what were your thoughts?
Okay, this one's tough. First of all, I did not like how they set this up. It felt really rushed, really forced, and man, did it just feel like, like they're trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. That's what it felt like they're trying to do. And they did it successfully. I'll admit, the match was really good, really entertaining. I guess to get them going, they just need as minimal story as possible. But this was just out of left field. What the hell is AJ going to do now? Like, was he injured? Is something happened? I mean, why did they take the belt off of him now? He doesn't have anything to do for the pay-per-view. I guess he doesn't need to do anything for the pay-per-view. He's done a million things. But still, my point being, I guess this is going to be a... Was I entertained? I was pissed at the end. I didn't like how they did it. So, no, I wasn't entertained at all. Fuck this shit. Liked the match, though.
And Kent.
To the next person that spoils a motherfucking thing in wrestling, I'm blocking you. I'm done. I'm done with it. I am done being...
Okay, I didn't spoil it. Who did?
No. This time, Twan did it. Time for it, you did it. I've been having stuff consistently spoiled for me, and I so... rarely get a surprise in wrestling, and then when it happens, hey, make sure to check out this match. Oh, gee, I wonder what's going to happen then. You mean the match where there's a world championship involved and you're going out of your way to tell me about it? Gee, I wonder what the fuck's going to happen. Like, no subtle hints, no more blocked, okay? That's where I'm at this point. I just want some kind of surprise every once in a while.
Can I, real quick... One of these days, I'm just going to, like, nothing happens in the title match. Like, it's just normal. And I'm going to be like, oh, my God, you have to watch this match. It'll just be a normal match.
Russ, I'm shipping you to Japan, too.
Yes. I'll be with Seth. All will be right.
This is like the tale of two kitties, okay? There's some positives and some negatives here. Knowing that Daniel Bryan was going to win the championship, I thought to myself, gee, there's not many people that are more undeserving of a championship. I will go on record in saying that Daniel Bryan is possibly the single most overrated wrestler of our time. Extremely popular, but he really, his peak times, he doesn't have like this long peak. It's all very short peaks here and there, but people make him out to be some all-time great, and he's not. He's far from it. I like the heel turn. Supposedly, he's been asking for a heel turn for a while. This is WWE, and they were like, God, we have a chance to give AJ Styles the main event at a pay-per-view. We're not going to let that happen. No, no, no. That cannot happen. We can't let AJ Styles beat Brock. But here's my best theory. Maybe WWE is just a little bit still kind of pissed off about Crown Jewel. And what's the one match we always feared for Daniel Bryan's health and or life?
That's yeah, true.
I think this is payback. Like, this isn't going to be a match. So, yeah, I'm okay with this. I'm so okay with this because one botch from Brock and Bryan's gone again for a while.
Say,
I'm okay
Daniel's
with it.
Daniel's going to have to relinquish the belt next night anyway. So.
I'm entertained by all of this possibilities here. Yeah, why not?
All right, so let's talk about that match, shall we? Let's talk about Brock Lesnar versus Daniel Bryan. I saw this morning when I woke up that Daniel Bryan won the belt, and then I saw the announcement that, you know, he's going to face Lesnar. I said, oh my God, Daniel Bryan's going to die. Yeah, he's going to die. This is going to be a brutal match for all concerned and not in a good way. But I'm pricking Brock to win. Kent?
Oh God, yes! This is going to be this is going to be my match of the night. I can't wait to see that little vegan get his bitch ass beaten. I want to see at least 17 F5s. I just want this to be Brie mode in the best of ways possible. Yeah, I don't even care if Baron Corbin hits him in the head with a championship belt. It doesn't have to happen, but if they want to do that, I'm good with it. WWE really should have kind of like had AJ be like, I want my rematch this Sunday. Like, turn into a three-way somehow. They could have done some quirky thing to get AJ back on the card, but they didn't. But, yeah, if Brock doesn't win... And it's not the last match. I'm not watching the rest of Survivor Series. I'm putting that right out there right now. Brock needs to win. He needs a win.
He certainly does need a win. The man loses all the time. Okay.
And turns purple.
Yes, definitely. Shades of purple. There's shades of purple. That's what's nice about it. You know, it's not he doesn't go white to purple. It's a nice gradual change. It's fun.
He may go to plat in this match.
It's possible. It depends. This is gonna be a Brock Lesnar special. I think there's a little bit of punishment involved in this, and I cannot see it being any other way than Brock just flat out crushes him. It's not even gonna be close. It's not even gonna be funny. If Brock doesn't, if Brock loses this through somehow a legitimate match, I will call bullshit. So I'm going with Brock.
I mean, they wouldn't even let AJ. I mean, AJ had a semi-adequate match last year. That was the most competent match Brock's had in years.
Right. Yeah, but it's not happening. This is going to be a squash match. Bryan's going to hopefully survive because I don't wish him ill will. So, yeah.
I don't wish him ill will. I just wish him off my TV screen.
You might get that, because he may be dead after this.
And do you think there's any possible punishment involved here? Like, is this like a backhanded, like, oh, you want the belt again? Here, just in time to face, Brock Lesnar. Like,
I think there's some, it's a minor, it's not huge, but I think there is something to it, a little bit. I think they're going to do this no matter what. I think Daniel was always going to take the belt off of him. definitely not.
They probably just sped things up and had him face Lesnar, saying, "Well, you didn't come to Crown Jewel, didn't take the payday."
I think he was going to take it at Crown Jewel. Actually, I think he was going to take it at Crown Jewel. So I think not maybe sped up, but pushed back. And then, yeah, punishment. So, yay. Definitely Brock.
All right, let's talk the men's Survivor Series elimination match. Team Raw is Braun Strowman, Dolph Ziggler, Drew McIntyre, Finn Balor, and Bobby Lashley. And Team SmackDown is The Miz, Shane McMahon, Samoa Joe, Rey Mysterio, and Jeff Hardy. Wow, that's, you know, that is a whole bunch of dysfunctional teams. Or dysfunctional individuals based on storyline. Yeah, this is going to be interesting. I see there's no reason Raw should lose this. I'm picking Team Raw. Russ?
I am definitely picking Team Raw. This has almost the exact same quality of Brock versus Daniel Bryan. Look at the size of Raw compared to the size of SmackDown. Yeah, not Speed's not going to win this. Because you've got speed and power on the other side. Braun, and they're protecting the hell out of it. So something's got, major's got to happen. They're not going to let Drew get a loss here. He's definitely winning this thing. He's going to be surviving. I think Braun's going to survive. And I'll think about other people. But yeah, Braun's winning this.
Kent.
Guys are too deep in the forest to see the trees here. A, Shane's winning this. SmackDown's winning. SmackDown is winning. Drew and Braun will eliminate each other via some bullshit. That's how they get past that. Finn's there to eat a loss. I mean, Lashley's always good for a loss. Dolph, I mean, my God, that's his nutrition, his losses. Yeah, it's kind of funny, because if you look at it, it's like, who's the tallest guy on Team SmackDown? Is it Miz? Is it Jeff? It's one of those two, and I don't even know.
I think Jeff's that tall.
Neither is Miz. I don't know if any of them are taller than I am. So, yeah, good stuff. And it's, you know, it's not like they didn't have, like, some, you know, 11, 12-time champion that they could have used, or, you know, some awesome guy from Mexico that they could have used. No, we need Jeff Hardy as our fifth member. Or you know, they could have held off on the announcement, and then, like, after the main event, Miz could be like, oh, well, AJ Styles is my pick.
No, right? That's what I thought, too. I was like, why don't they just put AJ on the team?
Like, I don't understand what hackneyed writer did all this, but, yo, kudos. Oh, and by the way, Randy Orton's also going to help them get the win. Because he's not RKOing people for no reason. There is a reason. I think you guys are way off. SmackDown's winning this because it's so obvious that Raw would win normally.
That is true. But this one feels like they're throwing it in your face. They should win, and they're going to win. I don't know why. It just feels like that.
Shane won the World Cup.
I know.
He's the best in the world.
That's true. You got me there.
I got a question. Where's Rusev?
His feud is done. He no longer has Rusev Day. It's over with. He needs to now go back to obscurity, and we'll never see him again. Because it was smart to break them up. I'm sorry, Kent, were you going to say something about that?
I just want to throw this out there. If you made a team, the next best five-man team on SmackDown, you would have AJ Styles, Randy Orton, Andrade Cien Almas, Rusev, and who cares, right? Like, the third guy from Sanity. You could make an argument for him or R-Truth, even. We'll say R-Truth. You would take that team over Team SmackDown, would you not?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. See, that's the quality writing we are talking about here, folks. So, also, let's not forget, Elias is kind of jaded. He may take his aggression out on somebody.
Named Bobby Lashley?
Maybe Lashley?
Yeah, like, Team Raw is effed in the A, as far as I'm concerned.
They are ripe for implosion.
That's why I said there's a lot of dysfunction in the names that are in both teams, really, if you think about it.
Well, Finn, just look.
Joe doesn't even have to lose. If you think about it, Joe might survive along with Shane. We know Shane's surviving. He was the last man eliminated last year, was he not? True. He's a survivor. He's not going to give up.
That's true. So I think you're right, because Finn has enemies all around him. He's got Dolph and what's his name there? Drew. Dolph and Drew. He's been on and off again with Braun. So, yeah, he's got no allies.
And Lashley, for like most of the past month.
But here's the question. If SmackDown wins, they're trying to make Shane a heel, right? Isn't he basically pinning all the heels over in Raw? Except for Finn, they're all heels.
No, because Braun and Drew are going to take each other out. That's classic Survivor Series mentality. Have the two hosses on the dominant team take each other out. This has been tried and true for the past 37
years. Right,
right,
I get that. So, but isn't it then after Braun's gone?
Who's left? Dolph?
Yeah, Dolph a heel. So it's going to be heels being taken out. It's just weird that they're doing that after trying to turn Shane heel.
Shane get the last pin on Finn.
Okay.
That's all that you need to do. True.
Oh, this is going to be an interesting one. I can't figure out if it's going to be an interesting one in a good way or a bad way.
If it goes Kent's way, it could be fun.
It goes the way WWE normally books.
Oh, it's going to be stupid as shit.
Yep. All right, let's talk women. Because really, given the week we've had, that's where all the breaking news and big news has come out of. Russ, I have a question for you as we kick off this part of the preview.
Yes.
Is it mild?
Oh, good question, Carrie. Is it mild? So, ladies and gentlemen, this is my segment where I take one of the wrestling segments for the week and I ask myself, was it a wrestling segment? Is this something that gets a wrestling fan going and excited for whatever's coming up in the future? So, we designate it, is it mild? Because, well, we think of it here like the wing sauce here. Was it mild? Well, then, not really our wrestling segment. It's not really a good show. Medium? Okay. Getting up there a little bit, but still not quite there. Then we've got hot. Now you're talking wrestling segment. We enjoyed it as wrestling fans, and it was just something to really be there. And then, finally, we've designated Brie Mode, also known as Suicide, as our top, just, that is wrestling gold. So this week I chose the segment of Becky Lynch and the SmackDown women coming down and invading Raw. So basically what happens is we have a farce of a match between I can't think of their names. Sasha and Bayley, just to have Ruby Riott just get the team. That was kind of funny. I like that. Then all of a sudden, we cut to the back, and we see Becky Lynch disarming Ronda. Crazy awesome. Becky comes off, just lets her go eventually, and then just walks out like the bad lass that she is. Goes out to the ring and faces the Raw everybody on Raw, basically by herself for a few seconds, has everyone's attention, and then SmackDown comes out of nowhere and just beats the crap out of Raw. Becky comes down there, kicks the crap out of people, and then the worst thing in the world happened. And I know we want to talk about this, so we might just wrap this up in a second on that one. But Nia Jax, oh my God, breaks Becky's face. And yes, we're saying face. We're not going to say nose. We're saying face because that's what truly happened here, apparently. Unforgivable. That is just unforgivable. Come on. I didn't see it fully, so I don't want to blame her because accidents happen. But not good. Becky's the best thing that's going on in wrestling right now. And what are they going to do? So, broken face. Still, proud of her. Legendary now. And yes, folks, you probably already saw where this is going. This is Brie Mode all the way. This is one of the most epic match things we've seen in a long time. And I don't like to say epic that much because Kent loves hearing epic, don't you, Kent? But this was...
Yeah.
This was just legendary. Her standing there bloody-faced, facing everybody in Raw, that solidified her right there. She is the best thing in wrestling. And hands down, guys or girls, best thing in wrestling. I can't wait till she's back in action. Hopefully it won't be too long. Because, no. Only one thing kind of ruined it, but we'll talk about that later. This was Brie mode all the way.
So, guys, let's jump right in and talk about this whole situation with Becky and Nia Jax. Given the level that Nia Jax should be performing at, I mean, I understand accidents happen, but still, this almost looked, if you watch the video, it almost looked intentional. What do you think, Kent?
I'm not even going to send her to Japan. I'm sending her to fucking Antarctica, and she can fucking fuck off, okay? Fire that bitch. Why is it that the people that botch the most are the people with the securest positions? Anybody notice that? It's always that way. So, you know, we'll see how this goes, but the last time something like this happened, Owen dropped Austin on his neck, and then Owen died, right? So
Nia's...
I'm just
Nia's
saying... I'm just saying, God is a fan of wrestling, apparently. Watch out, Nia, because you did something really, 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 really bad. This was actually probably, over the past decade, that whole thing with Becky may have been one of my five favorite things that I've seen in the past decade. I will go that far to say that because Becky's on such a fucking roll. She owned it. And then the bloody, like, everything came together. I mean, this kind of was about as cool as, like, I'd put this up there with the pipe bomb. I'd put it up there with Nexus. Like, this was great. This was great. And then Nia just fucked it up. Because Nia is so talented. And she just won that historic Women's Battle Royal. Because we keep giving stuff to Nia for nepotism reasons. I'm sure that word may get used again later. Just may.
Very soon, too, probably.
We're just talking about this segment. We're not talking about the match yet, right?
No, we're not even talking about the... Yeah, right. We're not even talking about the match yet. Yeah, so.
Okay. Yeah, okay. So, one of my all-time favorite segments. Ruined. Thank you,
the only Nia, thing
for once again.
Did anybody notice? I couldn't tell... But did anybody notice if it was like Becky was going too far forward? Did Becky have anything in this? Or was it really just Nia didn't pull back when she should have?
No, she clocked her. If you watch the... It's either she clocked her or it was a really, really stiff hit.
Well, it was definitely clocked her. But like, I couldn't tell if maybe Becky fell into it on accident a little bit. She was supposed to be up a little bit higher or something. I couldn't tell. Like, I can't say if this was... It looks almost 100% like Nia screwed up. And I'm trying to find at least a little bit where she can have an excuse where maybe Becky did something slightly off and it kind of threw her off. But it looks almost completely on fault on Nia. And that's what's sad. Because I like to always have
nothing
something.
Nothing I could see. It legit looked like she pushed... Like, Becky... I forgot who she was... Before the incident occurred, who she was...
Tangling with, right.
Yeah, tangling with... But basically, it was like she turned around and Nia just clocked her.
Right.
Yeah, it didn't look like she fell into it. She was in the wrong place, wrong time. It just looked like Nia clocked her. I think basically maybe I'm, you know, justifying it for Nia here is maybe Nia was just caught up in the moment. She was just like adrenaline, and that's why she was just like, oh, I'm not, you know, I'm actually in a fight, so I'm just going to clock this person who just walked by me and didn't realize, oh, I am still, you know, in the ring, still need to, you know, maintain my composure and stuff like that while still, you know, selling that I'm hitting this person.
If that's the case, then she is an awful wrestler. She needs.
Well, she's an awful wrestler to begin with. She's not.
That solidifies. If she thought she was in a real fight, then that solidifies it.
It took that to solidify it, Russ. Have you been blind since she's been on NXT?
No, no, God, no. I've hated her just as much as you. I think we all had, what, 3 months where
we really? You hate her as much as
no,
me?
No, not quite as much as you.
Get the fuck out of here.
There was 3 months where we all enjoyed her. About 3 months.
Here's the thing. You can hit people. Like, that's part of wrestling. People do get injured and stuff. The thing you don't do is you do not kill the golden fucking goose.
Right.
You maybe have little softer hands with the protected person. Like, you have to protect your fucking main event. She did not. Like, quote-unquote, growing up in this business, in the family she did, you know that you have to protect the stars, at the very least. I don't give a fuck what kind of adrenaline. That's just beyond inexcusable, in my opinion. You have to protect the stars, at the very least. Like, because you cause chaos, and then you cause what we're going to talk about soon, and it just fucks everything up. So, the only saving grace, and I hate the fact that people are saying Royal Rumble, I say just save this for WrestleMania. Just save... This is... If we have to have a women's main event at WrestleMania, this
I'm
is
okay
it.
With Becky, as long as it's Becky.
Yeah, I mean, that's really, to your point, Kent, the silver lining of all of this is we may actually get a Ronda Rousey versus Becky Lynch main event at WrestleMania. That's the silver lining to this. If there is a silver lining, that is it.
How long before we stop coddling Rhonda, by the way?
I give her another 6 months.
So you're giving her the full
yep.
year from WrestleMania, yep. basically?
Yep, I'm giving her a full year.
I think that's fair. I mean, I'm kind of getting sick of coddling her a little bit.
I know, but she's still a rookie.
I just don't like her promos, and it's weird because her promos weren't bad in UFC. I don't know. It's just a little... I don't even blame her, necessarily. I blame the writing a little bit more than her.
But she's in a lot of her own being able to... She has a lot of control in her own. So there's a lot on her.
That's not 100% true. Because you believe everything you read on the fucking internet, and then Dave Meltzer comes... Oh, my bad. I'm sorry.
If it's conferred by multiple sources, though, it's typically pretty accurate. And Dave Meltzer wasn't the only one who said it.
Russ, stop being a fucking mark.
All right, guys, let's jump into Survivor Series matches for the women. Let's talk about, I guess, and the fallout from this. Starting with the match with Ronda Rousey. Now it's Charlotte has been selected to face Ronda Rousey. I mean, this is probably going to happen at WrestleMania. Circumstances changed, and now we're getting this now, which could be a positive. With that said, I just don't see Ronda losing this match. What do you think, Russ?
Okay, so first of all, can we discuss the whole Becky coming out and choosing her successor for this match, and how pissed off I am that they chose Charlotte over Asuka. Asuka was the much better choice, but I think this is leading to something with the four horsewomen. I honestly... This is where you get Ronda her loss. Ronda needs to lose. She needs to learn to lose. She needs to see that, or we can't have her be undefeated, or it's just going to become some stupid thing where we have to worry about that from now on. Let's get her a loss. Right here's her loss. This is it. She's going to lose to Charlotte thanks to interference. She's not going to lose clean. Definitely interference. I wouldn't be surprised if it's not Becky who comes out and interferes, and that's what starts this whole four horsemen. Heck, not even just Becky. Let's make it... Bailey and Sasha come out and make her ruin it. Whatever. Someone of the four horsewomen have this to do this. It feels like this is it. This is where Ronda needs her loss right here, so we don't have to worry about some stupid, she's undefeated. I don't care. So I'm saying Charlotte. But when Charlotte and Becky hugged, I was so fucking pissed. Oh my God. I was like, no, don't ruin Becky. You're ruining Becky. You've almost ruined her. Good thing she's so damn good. But yeah, no.
Her Twitter work over the past 24 hours has really made up for that hug. Have you read some of the stuff that Becky Lynch
Please
has been putting
steal
up?
Steal more of my material right now, Carrie. I have one thing here.
Okay, go ahead.
I haven't already up
go ahead.
Read.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I haven't heard a thing, so let me hear this Twitter.
Well, Becky, well, first Rhonda said, I'm really sorry to hear the millennial man will not be showing up for her legally arranged ass-whooping on November 18th at the Staples Center. Unfortunately, now everyone, and then there's Instagram something. So Becky responded, Ronnie, TLDR, when I got my face broke, I got up, owned you, then showed up the next day looking to fight some more. When you got your face broke, you hid for a year under your blankie. Your mind is as weak as your jaw, and I'm going to move heaven and earth to come destroy them both. That's what we need.
She is so good at this stuff.
Yeah. So, on Walking Dead this week, Carol has grown her hair out, and it looks fabulous. I don't know. There was a lot of cool things because it's like a revitalization of the show. I mean, they've moved forward. I don't even know how many years. I think 5.5, 6 years, something like that. So people are growing up. It's one of the cool things is that they had Henry grow up, and so older Henry is actually in real life, young Henry's older brother. And both of those boys are brothers of the girl who played Sophia. So like that family is just really well endowed with the Walking Dead. It's pretty good stuff. Oh no, the show's moved on past Rick and it's not bad. Like it feels fresh. It feels different for people that were possibly most definitely bored by season 6, 7, and 8 that just seemed to drag on for fucking ever. Things are new and different. And already somebody pissed off Carol, and already Carol lit them on fire. Because, you know, you don't fuck with Carol. So, that was fun. Broke my heart to see Becky hug Harlot. Asuka really wanted it. Like, she really wanted it. And as I sent you guys the pictures, because I took them as I was watching this, Peyton Royce's face throughout this whole thing really described my whole emotional state of disgust and disdain. You're right. It's for the better in the fact that we don't have this as WrestleMania main event. We're getting it out of the way. It's just a match that we didn't ever need to see as a main event ever in the history of ever. And yeah, probably this sets up 4 Hooers women versus 4 Hooers women. Let's face it. The other Hooers women are going to be there Saturday. They'll probably be there ringside, you know, Sunday night to support their girl. They'll all be sitting there, probably together, front row, and blah, blah, blah. You can't have... WWE seems to like think that this is okay. No, you can't have like this bloodbath, hateful feud like they just had between Harlot and Becky, and then kind of blow it off.
Right.
So
they blew
fast.
It off way too damn fast.
Yeah, you need a buffer. Just a few months buffer. You can get by. 3 months buffer, you can kind of get by.
Not 3 weeks.
You can't have Ciampa and Gargano hug it out, you know, 3 weeks later. You can't. You just can't, and this was horrible. Like, and not only that, where the fuck was Nikki Cross?
Right? Told you.
I'm just saying.
Tell you last week, she's gone forever. She came out once, and she's gone.
I didn't trade her to Japan, Russ, okay? I did not sign off on this. So, not okay, guys. Bring Nikki back. No, I refuse to acknowledge Russ's prediction of Charlotte winning. Because they're not making a big deal of Ronda being undefeated. That's the only thing that keeps me saying Ronda's going to win. What? She's had, what, five, six matches?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Yeah, that's not really a streak.
It doesn't matter.
I mean, even Taker didn't get a streak acknowledged until Randy Orton time period, so WrestleMania 24.
I hope you're right, but she's not going to lose for the foreseeable future, so depending on how many matches she's going to have, she's not losing for a while.
Right, but we openly talked about the fact that Ronda probably shouldn't lose the first year of her... Like,
right, because it was...
With the money invested...
This right here is a time for her to lose, though. If you're going to have her lose, this is it. Cheaply, she's going to lose, unfairly.
No, not to Charlotte. Charlotte gets handed every last motherfucking first time ever. Gets
it should have been Becky. You're right, it should have been Becky.
It's Asuka all over again, Russ. I will not accept this, and I will turn my fucking TV off if Charlotte gets the fucking win. I really, truly will. I will stop the pay-per-view dead in its tracks.
What if it's Becky?
Charlotte does not
get it. What if it's Becky's doing, though?
Don't care. No, Charlotte does not deserve all of this, all of these accolades. She just keeps getting handed accolade after accolade. No, no. I want Rusev to put her in the accolade.
I know it. Charlotte paid Nia to hit Becky as hard as she could so she could get the win.
See, now we're getting into facts here.
That's what it is. Figured it out.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Becky was
going to
get that accolade. Becky was going to get that accolade. And... Nope, all of a sudden Charlotte's got it.
Maybe Ric Flair slipped her a pair of brass knucks. We don't know.
Yeah, you know what? This is
because we know Nature Boy was in the house.
You're right. And Vince wasn't.
So he got old... Wait, Triple H wasn't in the house either.
No, he wasn't. You're right. It was just... Well, Stephanie was there, so...
So basically Ric Flair run the whole show. This is what happened. Yep. Son of a
bitch. We got it. We got it, guys. We are the conspiracy theorist kings, and we've got this one down.
Yeah, this sounds like a conspiracy, guys. It really does.
Just saying.
All right. Let's move on to the, final match for the women's side of the card. We have the Women's Survivor Series elimination match. Team Raw, we got Natalya, Mickey James, Nia Jax, Tamina, Snuka, and Ruby Riott. Team SmackDown, we have Carmella, Naomi, Asuka, Sonya Deville, and TBA, to be determined. There is not a final member of Team SmackDown announced. There you go, Kent. There's where Nikki Cross comes in. I have no idea who's going to win this.
Yes, Kent agrees.
I'm going to go Team Raw. Kent?
Well, obviously they're saving Sasha and Bayley for something. Obviously. Why Natalya's out there is beyond me. This of all the fuck-ups this week, perhaps the biggest overshadow here was the fact that Alicia Fox is not on the fucking team. That's just disgraceful. Beyond disgraceful. It's deplorable. It's disgusting. It's not cool. That Foxy didn't make it, but Natalya... who weeps over sunglasses getting broke, makes the fucking team. And Tamina. What has Tamina ever been a threat? She's a threat to herself because she's on the fucking injured list, what, three times as often as she's on the active roster? So, she's... No. Nia's the threat. We know. Nia's the threat because she has a pair of brass knucks, Flair and or William Regal snuck them to her, and I fear for Team SmackDown's safety. At what point during that whole selection process were we supposed to believe that Becky may choose Lana? was there ever a point in that? Like
I wanted Becky.
I felt like Becky should have just ran past Lana.
I thought Becky should have stopped for half a second and just walked on. That's what I honestly thought was going to happen.
And hell, I mean, Naomi, your whole, trying to get the match is just to smile.
Right.
Like, everybody should have had more of an Asuka fire. And that's the thing. Asuka's the one... Who beats Asuka? That's where I struggle with this. I don't think it's going to be Nikki Cross either, which I thought about. I think it's going to be Mandy Rose. Also, I think Sonya Deville versus Rousey is a match that I really want to see down the road. I really do. I like Sonya. Bliss needs to win because Team Raw's men's going to lose. So that means Team Raw's
women should win. That doesn't make sense, though.
I just don't. How do they beat Asuka, though? God, they're probably going to put fucking untalented fatty Boombaletti over Asuka. Or maybe Tamina and Nia double team Asuka. I could see that as possibly their way of
beating her,
doing
right.
It. I don't know. Yeah, I'll go team Bliss.
And Rust.
Yeah. Another match I don't really care for, honestly. The combatants are just, whatever. SmackDown's got some of the people I like. But it is Team Bliss, and I hate to go against her. And Kent's right. I kind of changing sides. I think SmackDown's winning the men's. So I'm going to go with the Raw women's here winning, because one of those two have to, like, it's got to be broken off pretty much even off those. So, yeah.
Didn't we say that last year?
Team Raw. Just because they're trying to set something up with Nia and Ronda, so, yeah.
Didn't that happen, though, just last year?
All right, guys, so overall, last comments on Survivor Series. I don't know if I'm looking forward to any of this. Russ?
I am kind of looking forward to some of this. I do want to see Shinsuke versus Seth. I know it's not going to end cleanly, but we're going to get a little bit of a taste of something that could be awesome. So I want to see that match. Of course, it's got Seth in it. Duh. I am intrigued by the men. I want to see how that goes off. The tag team, whatever, it's just going to be there. The women, whatever. Charlotte versus Ronda has my interest a little bit, only because I want to see how they're going to end it. Yeah, it's going to be okay. Nothing great, but it's going to be okay.
Kent, final thoughts?
This has potential to be fun. I don't know. I feel it has more potential than NXT does, as far as there's a wide variety of things that can happen. So for me, I'm excited for Survivor Series. There's at least four or five matches that could be fun. Not great. NXT will have great matches of the weekend. I'm no longer in it for match quality. I'm done. Done. There's too much match quality stuff. I'm in it for fun. So
it's got to have both. Just it's got to have both. Because if it's just fun and stupid.
It's going to have both. I need Seth Rollins to burn it down.
Thank you. Yes, yes. That's fun and a good, great match.
I don't need a great match at Survivor Series. Why do we need a great match to justify a pay-per-view being good? We really don't. Like,
it needs to be
a very good match.
Then it has to be fun all around.
That's never going to happen. It's never happened. It never will. So, no.
And we are going to have a great match. Brock versus Daniel will be great.
Right. That will be match of the weekend. We know this. So, what's going to be the main event, though, do you think? Is it going to be the Ronda and Charlotte?
Definitely now more than ever, because I thought they were going to do it because of Becky. But now they're definitely doing it because it's Charlotte, so.
I'll go with it. All right, guys. So there you have it, listeners. There's our preview for this weekend's events, NXT TakeOver War Games, Survivor Series. Let's talk about what we're looking forward to next week in our segment. I'm not finished with you yet. Every time we have one of the big four pay-per-views, we have call-ups from NXT. That's what I'm looking forward to. Any potential call-ups? Kent?
Still looking forward to Nikki Cross making her debut. Still looking forward to it being official. Also Elias. I don't know. The man's just money, and last week, I don't think we gave any props to the UK crowd for the song during the Elias thing, but it was good. Good for them.
And Russ.
You, boy. I am looking forward to... Screw it. I'm just going to go with the old safety net. Seth and Dean, see where they're going with that.
Hey, Russ.
Yes?
Remember how just like 2 minutes ago you said that they always have to balance things out by having the men win one and the women win the other?
Have they not done that at all lately?
So 2017, Team Raw won both of them.
Oh, there we go. But did Team SmackDown win the...
And...
Win the tag?
No, Team SmackDown just didn't win. Like, there was just the two teams thing. I also found the most interesting part, to me, actually would have been the pre-show, which we probably gave no credence to back then, but it featured Elias versus Matt Hardy, Enzo versus Kalisto, the savior of the 205 division, and Sammy and Kevin Owens versus Breezango. These were all kickoff matches. I miss KO and Sammy.
I do, too. They're not going to...
And Enzo.
They're not going to be back for a very long time, all three of them.
Did anybody see the picture of Big Cass?
No. Is it?
Oh, my God, he got fat. He's on the Conor diet.
He's depressed.
I don't think he got all that much fatter than he was in WWE. I really don't.
I think his gut is just a little more pronounced.
It could be. I mean, like, he probably did pack on a good 10 to 20 pounds, but, I mean, Connor did way more than that, I firmly believe.
Connor went up a weight class. Yeah, no, he's getting better, isn't he?
I think so. I think he's slowly... I think that's actually why Ascension's getting time now.
Maybe.
So we can't call it the Connor diet anymore,
can
we?
Oh, no, we can.
We can call it the
Cass
diet.
No, we can call it the Connor diet forever for honorary reasons.
Yeah, I want to give Connor that respect that he deserves.
Sounds good. All right, guys. So let's, we talked about the past week. We talked about what we're looking forward to next week. There's only one thing left to do. It's time to play Guess the Wrestler.
Isn't there something else you wanted to do starting this week?
Nope, because we've already got to Guess the Wrestler. So maybe 2 weeks from now.
All right. Because I actually had one this week. I thought about it.
I think we all had one for that segment. And I think it's the same thing.
No, mine's going to be different. I'm pretty sure of it. I could be wrong, but...
Let's just do the segment because Russ has something for
Yay.
The fans.
They're going to tweet.
All right, Kent. Introduce our new segment, please.
Since we are clearly like the only fans of Braun Strowman left, WWE seems to have lost their way. Not only have we got a We're Not Finished With You Yet segment, we're now adding a Get These Hands segment in which we kind of bring up some subject that we kind of want to beat the holy hell out of with our hands. So, to kick it off, whiny-ass Russ, let's hear it. What do you got here
very,
for us?
Very apt for you. So, I want for this Get These Hands segment to be Stephanie if she ever... Frickin' screams again. She will get these hands. Oh my God. She is so annoying when she is screaming and yelling. It's such a high pitched. I wanted to just punch my television. Stephanie McMahon gets these hands.
Wow, that was so much better than my Nia pick.
See, I told you mine was different.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, yeah, now you mention it. Now I can't unhear
exactly.
It.
Exactly, I know. That's all I can ever hear. I'm like, oh my God, shut up. See? Kicking off this segment strong.
Yeah, you are. All right, guys, Guess the Wrestler, because now I got to get that out of my head. And what better way to do that than doing some really heavy-duty thinking with Guess the Wrestler? So, listeners, the rules of Guess the Wrestler... Very simple. Each week, one of us picks the wrestler This week, it's Russ's pick, and it's up to the other two to guess who that wrestler is using 9 questions and 2 guesses. Each week, there are 2 gimme answers, which Russ will answer right now, whether the wrestler is a current or former, and if it's male or female.
All right, it is male, and I'm going to say retired, but it says semi-retirement. So, but I'm pretty sure he's retired.
What promotion is he known for?
Good question. I would say WCW would be the time we would know him most, when WCW was bigger, I would say.
So the thing that would get my hands, since I was asked,
I know that's
would be Ember Moon screaming when she comes out. I am so glad that I was asked that after introducing the segment.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. I blame Russ.
I was wondering. I was waiting. I was like, I wonder if Kent's going to say anything that he got this chance to.
So, Russ, what color hair does this gentleman have?
That is
have?
A fantastic question. It is definitely dark.
Definitely dark, yep. Is it?
Uh-huh. Titles or titles held in WCW?
Yes. Can you narrow it down? Do you want the biggest one he ever held or what?
Yeah.
So WCW World Television Championship. 2 times.
Was this person in Ready to Rumble?
I'll come back to you on that because I want to say yes, but I don't remember. Because you know who it is.
Well, it's not Arquette, but I'm basing this off of the fact that I mentioned Arquette. I gave you a link to an article
with
Arquette.
No, it's not Arquette.
Canyon and Gregory Helms were mentioned in the article, so it got me thinking.
No, because remember, Arquette held the WCW championship.
I'm not saying it's Arquette. I'm saying, though, that Canyon is a possibility, although I think he was a U.S. champ.
Okay. No, he wasn't. No, not the person I was thinking of.
I do not have a question because I have no idea who this is.
Well, that's why it's just to narrow it down. Come on.
I don't even know half the WCW roster.
I only know him because of one reason.
When did they semi-retire?
2008. And they've been pretty much off the think for a while now, but he does make some appearances here and there.
Was this person in a group stable in WCW? And if it's a, like, please tell me all of them so it's not just NWO, because
I was gonna say,
mother was.
Well, to be fair, yes, he wasn't NWO. I can't give you all of them. He's been in quite a few.
Well, you can give me some, because that was the question.
I'm trying to see where I'm not giving it away to make sure it's actually a faction and not a tag team. Okay, he was a part of the Filthy Animals.
Yep, Yep, still tapping out.
Well, this is going to narrow it down for Kent. There's not that many guys, but filthy animals. I think this is... I'm going to tell you right now if I...
I'm going to burn a question.
Well, I was going to say, I'll tell you right now, Kent, if I gave you any other faction, you know who it is in a second. If that'll be the other hint. So I'll say the filthy animals. Any other faction I give you will be a dead giveaway who it is.
All right, so I'm going to burn a question. Is this person still alive?
Yes, alive.
Was this person ever married to a female wrestling personality?
Let me go down to there and find out. I don't think so. Nothing in here that mentioned, that doesn't say anything here, so no. I'm going to say no.
Okay, I'm just going to throw out the fact that Billy Kidman and Tori Wilson were married.
Okay, nope.
Okay.
But I did not know that. I didn't know they got married.
Oh, yeah, they were boyfriend and girlfriend back in WCW days, and Kidman actually still works for WWE, as far as I know.
Huh. Yeah, he does. I think he's in the back, right?
Yeah, he is.
So, was this person ever in WWE?
No, I don't think so. Let me make 100% positive on that. No. Never made it to WWE. Wait. Okay. Technically, he was in the WWF for a short time. But he was never in the WWE.
Okay. This is weird. Based on what I know of the filthy animals, there was Kidman, Conan. Conan was bald most of his time. He did have dark hair at one point. He could technically count as semi-retired. I don't know if Juventud Guerrera ever made it to WWE, whereas Conan did as Max Moon.
I'll give you this, because I just read this, because you're talking about it. It's the filthy animals, and they say it's the heel incarnation.
Was this person recently involved in TNA?
Recently?
As in the most recent for the Thanksgiving tapings?
No, probably not. I'll let you guess that one for free, and if it's right, then I'll fix you on that one. But no, I don't think so. Looks like they've been out for a while, like doing anything major. Hold on to that. Who you think it is? Guess the other ones. And if you say who it is afterwards, you won, because that's not fair. I don't know for a fact, and there's nothing on here that says he did or didn't.
All right, I'll just say this. Disco Inferno returned to TNA and got put in the turkey suit. So Disco Inferno would really
and
fit this bill
Disco
a lot.
It is Disco Inferno. You are correct. I didn't know he got returned. See, there's nothing that said it on here, so I wasn't sure. And I didn't want to lie, because...
Yeah, it just happened like 2 days ago, and like he returned for no real reason, lost the match, and got put in the turkey suit. And it sounded awfully stupid. Sound like... LOL TNA all over again.
Well, I didn't hear about that, but yes, it is Disco Inferno. Very good, Kent. You can never get one past you. I thought this one I'd get you. I thought, because he was obscure enough, but he's popular enough, but obscure enough to get away with.
I thought he held the U.S. Championship at one point, but...
Nope. Ready, Kent? Here are the other factions he's a part of. The Dancing Fools, which I thought would have given it away. And then the other one is The Boogie Nights. Also a dead giveaway. So I was like, I can't say that because he'd literally know who it is.
I actually have an interesting Jericho Cruz factoid about Disco Inferno. Apparently, he was supposed to be on the cruise, but like a week before, he informed them that he would be unable to attend because he did not renew his passport in time.
I heard about that.
Yep. Hmm. And as I think a way to say, I can't believe you did that, Chris Jericho on the last night of the cruise dressed up as Disco Inferno and performed a Fozzy set.
Wow.
I'm still not a fan of Fozzy. I keep wanting to like them, but it's like...
I like them. They're generic. They are very generic rock. But I like them. I mean, but I like generic rock. What can I say?
Yeah, it's not like I don't dislike it, but I can't sit here and name a single song of theirs that I really enjoy.
I like their newest. It
just exists.
Well, maybe it's not their newest anymore, but when it was out, it was out recently. Hold on. Let me see if I can find it. Judas. I like Judas. Yeah, maybe it's not the most recent, but...
Yeah, didn't they use that for one of the Raw...
One of the WWE
pay-per-views?
And that's also Chris Jericho's entrance music for New Japan.
Yes, it is. I like that song. I personally like that song.
He actually started off the set, his first set on the cruise with that song. That's how he played us out of Miami. It was great.
I like the Survivor Series theme song this month. I don't know what the hell it is, but I've enjoyed it a little bit. So
it's not bad.
Yeah, they do decent with their music selection, I feel.
Yeah, overall, they always have something good. At least every other month.
Yeah, I can't think of anything. As long as it's not one of the Flo Rida songs.
Yeah. Yeah, when we get closer to WrestleMania, it gets worse.
Or Machine Gun Kelly. Let's also throw that tool on the fucking list.
And to ship
that guy's terrible. Yeah, Machine Gun Kelly, go wrap your ass off in Japan. Actually, if you went to China, he'd probably be huge.
In size or you mean in skill?
Both. Like, it amazes me how like people from the U.S. are kind of washed up. They go to China. Like, I've noticed this a lot with athletes, but I think it's with entertainers as well. Like, they become huge and make fucking huge bank.
Right, because over there, they're new to them.
Really? Yeah, it's weird, the culture.
Well, because it's all new to them, so it's exciting.
So, in that regard, I want to send Machine Gun Kelly to Japan.
Or China, you mean.
Yeah, let's not make him any money. Let's send Machine Gun Kelly to Uganda.
There you go, that's better. Mildly racist. All right, almost,
guys.
But.
So, Kent, any announcements for our listeners?
I don't think we got.
Next week.
I swear, I'm still hearing Russ talk, and it's really freaking
me out.
I am
too.
Okay, like, was there like a ridiculous delay on stuff?
It sounded like there was.
Okay.
All right, I'm here now. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can, for better and worse. Yeah. Announcements. No. Probably by the time we get back, I'll have announcements, because we're taking a week off next week, so we can enjoy all being fat asses. And, yeah, that's something to celebrate.
Certainly is. I'm thankful for being a fat ass, so.
I think we might have Steve back next episode.
Oh, nice.
He can bitch about Survivor Series
with us. It's good to have Steve here.
Yeah, I like hearing Steve being disgruntled. It's always a treat.
It's fun because he's always disgruntled. Yeah, he will always watch wrestling.
That doesn't sound familiar at all.
Nope, not at all. All right, listeners. So before we sign off, check out our website, 9deuce.com. If you're listening to us on iTunes, hit that subscribe button, leave us a review, give us a rating. Whatever there is on iTunes, please do all of that. With that said, since there is no podcast next week, we wish you all a happy early Thanksgiving. For those in the United States who enjoy that celebrate the holiday, if you're listening to us from other countries, we'll see you in a week.
Enjoy a Thanksgiving, too. You can enjoy it, too. It's okay.
Yeah, exactly. So, with that said, for Russ, Kent, and myself, we wish you all a good night, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye, y'all!
My logo designer in Pakistan has never ate turkey. They don't have it there.
Interesting.
Yep, these are things I find out.